The manner of prayer we had this morning is as the Spirit of God directed me. Because like I said last week, we have entered that season and that time that manipulations and arrows are increased. One thing with witchcraft powers and forces, one thing they work with is manipulation. They can manipulate virtually everything they are given the opportunity to do so. But this morning it has pleased the Lord to bring us a word that is captioned "Breaking the Horn of Witchcraft." Breaking the Horn of Witchcraft. If you hear me talk about horn, you ask yourself and say, what is the meaning of the horn in what we are talking about? A horn is something that symbolizes strength, power. If you read the psalm, it says, "The Lord shall exalt my horn like the horn of the unicorn." We minister the message like that. The horn of the unicorn, the four carpenters. Sometimes we minister that message here. And when we are talking about the horn of witchcraft, is the strength of witchcraft. Breaking the horn of witchcraft. This morning as we journey together, I tell you the truth, the word will come so clear by the help of the Holy Spirit. And this word is an empowerment for us. A preparatory empowerment. When my wife was pregnant, as I took her to the hospital, immediately we find out she was pregnant. She registered for antenatal. Matter of fact, I registered for antenatal in 3 hospitals. I found out something about the antenatal program, that they are preparing the woman for the day of her delivery. At a point when my wife was about 7 months pregnant, through the antenatal test and all of that, they found out that her PCV level is low, her blood level. So in the course of that, they had to tell her what to be taking to improve her blood level. Things that have iron supplements. So I will go to the market, I will buy her different things, got the egg leaves, pumpkin leaves and different things to just see that blood level is increased. So why that thing is so, is so that on that day of the delivery, there will be nothing like the woman is running short of blood in case there is excess bleeding. So when that thing happened, I now saw the reason why that exercise was important. It's a preparatory exercise so that they will be investigating many things about the woman. So the woman will be prepared on the day of delivery. Why I brought that lesson now is that this utterance the Lord is bringing is a preparatory knowledge that can prepare us for the day of battle and that can make us to fight correctly. You know, the Bible says wisdom is better than strength. For with wise counsel shalt thou make thy words. In the multitude of counselors is safety. So this is the word of wisdom the Lord is bringing to us this morning. That's why everybody needs to attentively hearken to what God is saying. Look at Zechariah chapter 1 with me. Zechariah chapter 1. Zechariah is one of the last books of the Old Testament, just before Malachi. And Malachi is the last book. So Zechariah is second to the last book of the Old Testament. Zechariah 1, 18 to 21, I read. The scripture says, "Then lifted I up mine eyes and saw, and behold, four horns. I saw four horns as I lifted up my eyes." There are many things that if we don't lift up our eyes in the spirit, we will not see those horns. If you don't lift up your eyes properly to see, you may not be able to see. So before the man saw the horns in this vision before the prophet, he lifted up his eyes. So this utterance is an eye opener to lift up our eyes so that we can understand if there be horns around. Look at verse 19. And I said unto the angel that talked with me, what be this? Waiting be this. What is this? And the angel answered me, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, scattered Israel, scattered Jerusalem. Four horns. One will stand, the horns each is positioned at a bearing. There are four bearings, north, east, west, and south. So any corner they are pointing at, the horn is standing. The horn scattered Judah, scattered Israel, scattered Jerusalem. And the Lord showed me four carpenters. This is Zechariah speaking. Then said I, what come these to do? You see, there were four horns and the Lord sent four carpenters to match them. Balance of terror. Then I said, what are these come to do? And he spake saying, these are the horns which are scattered Judah, so that no man did lift up his head, but these are come to fray. The Amplifier said, these are come to terrorize them. The four carpenters have come to terrorize them, to cast out the horns of the Gentiles, which lifted up their horn over the land of Judah to scatter it. The Lord bless his word. Listen. The horns were stationed against Israel, against Judah, against Jerusalem, against God's people. The activity of these horns here is a witchcraft activity that came to suppress and to scatter. Witchcraft is the use of magical powers obtained from evil spirits. If you're hearing of occultism is just like a theoretical wing of witchcraft, which is practical. Witchcraft is practical. You see where people are using different mediums to consult spirits, so that spirits will begin to speak to them, and they will send spirits on assignment. Those things are witchcraft. Witchcraft. I said one day I was in Owerri, Imo State, while I was on campus. I was going on my way to somewhere, and the Spirit of the Lord moved me that day to a particular direction in a fourth junction at Bishop's Court Junction in Owerri. I stayed at that junction and I wanted to urinate. Normally, I don't urinate in public because it's not good. But that was at night, about 8 p.m. or so. So as I began to urinate, it struck my heart to look at where I'm urinating. And as I beheld, it was a calabash. I was urinating inside a calabash, and they put some sacrifice inside the calabash. My urine was pouring inside, it filled the calabash. I don't know why I got that leading, but the voice of the Spirit in me said, I just scattered something, just destroyed something. That thing that person did, the person played with the forces of the universe to go to a fourth junction and do that. You see, there were four horns lifted against Israel, and God had to send four carpenters. We are from Nigeria here. Most sacrifices you see, any sacrifice that will be effectual for these witches and necromancers and occultists, they go to the fourth junction. So that they, my God. Do you remember where God spoke to Jeremiah, Ezekiel, to prophesy to the dry bones? And as Ezekiel was prophesying, he talked about the four winds, the north, east, west, and south. This activity that person did, I don't know what that person did, but God undid it. But what I'm talking about is that the activities, the manipulations of witchcraft, they are real. As that person does that thing, a particular spirit will take up that sacrifice and become a voice for that person, doing the bidding that that person asks for. This is Africa, and you will hear of many cases where they bury charms somewhere, did this and that, that and that. When those things are done as unto sacrifices, a spirit takes it up to do the bidding of that person that engineered it. That is witchcraft. There are only two sources of spiritual power. Only two. Number one is God. Number two is Satan. Two sources. Even though the power Satan has, he got it from the Lord as a gift before he fell. But then, the activities in this present world, wherever power comes from, it is either from God or from Satan. Anybody you see exercising power, it is either God-given or Satan-given. And the powers demonstrated from the angle of the enemy, which is Satan, those are witchcraft powers. Desiring the ability to control people, to control people's destinies. A witch might see her neighbor and said, my neighbor is prospering more than me. Listen, are we together? The witch might say, my neighbor is prospering more than me. So because of this, I need to hinder my neighbor. The witch will go to an altar, an already prepared altar, do some sacrifices. And as that sacrifice is done, the spirit of that altar is given a voice to begin to do that exact thing the witch has spoken of. The children of Israel, they were defeating their enemies on every side. They had defeated the Amorites. Then the king of Moab, which is called Balak. Balak saw that if it is by the strength of army, they cannot defeat Israel. So he began to consult mediums on how to bring down Israel. The Bible says, he said, which be this that came out of Israel, that came out of Egypt? He knew the fame of Israel. So he knows that there is a mysterious power Israel works with that gives them victory over their enemies. So Balak was ready to pay to the last of his kingdom for somebody to help him divine against Israel. And that divination is an act of witchcraft. He said, I'm just looking for somebody that will help me curse Israel. Because I know that if they are cursed, even if they carry 100,000 soldiers and me, I carry 1,000, I will defeat them. Because he knows that the battle is not in this earth realm. Balak understood that the battle is highly spiritual. Journey with me, Numbers chapter 22. Let's look at this very fast. Numbers 22. 10 to 11, 10 to 12. Numbers 22, verses 10 to 12. And Balaam said unto God, this is when Balak had gone to meet Balaam. Balaam is the, don't confuse the two names. Balaam is the prophet, while Balak is the king of Moab. And Balaam, the prophet, said unto God, Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, had said unto me, saying, behold, there is a people who come out of Egypt, which covered the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Just curse them for me. Peradventure, I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. Because he knows that if they are not cursed, he cannot drive them out. So he said, just curse them. When you curse them, I will pay you anything you want. That's why some people can carry their entire salary for a month and go to a witch doctor. I don't want to call it native doctor, because the people that listen to me, they are not only Nigerians. Nigeria, we use the word native doctor, but it's actually witch doctor. A native doctor can be a traditional doctor that uses herbs to treat people and does not enter into divination of consulting evil spirits. But a witch doctor is a witch doctor. A witch doctor is the one that involves in sorcery, divinations, enchantments. So Balak hired Balaam to help him curse Israel. Why he wants Israel to be cursed is because he knows that when that curse goes against Israel, he will defeat. So there are people today that can invest their entire life saving in order to visit witch doctors, to consult spirits. Look at verse 12. And God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them, but thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. Now, if you have your time, because of time constraint, we will not go through Numbers 22, but in your time, your personal time, please go through Numbers 22. But this prophet of God, Balaam, was possessed by the spirit of Mammon. Mammon was possessing him. So, Balak has sent his senators again to promise him great fortunes, and the prophets agreed to go before God sent his angel. And the angel appeared of where an axe was speaking to a man. The prophet of God did not want to hear God again, so God was speaking through his ass. The ass did not want to go again. He was shouting. He wanted to kill the ass. The ass said, have I not been faithful to you since? Huh? But look at chapter 23, 1 to 3. I want to show us something. Chapter 23, 1 to 3. And Balaam said unto Balak, build me here 7 altars and prepare me here 7 oxen and 7 rams. Are you seeing altar? Are you seeing oxen and rams? Are you seeing altar? Then are you seeing things that have life? Things that have blood in them. The oxen and the ram. And Balak, the king, did as Balaam had spoken. And Balak and Balaam offered on every altar a bullock and a ram. They built up 7, erected 7 altars in that high place. And Balaam said unto Balak, stand by the burnt offering, and I will go. Peradventure the Lord will come to meet me, and whatever he showed me, I will tell thee. And he went to an high place. Now, I just want to use this to create a picture for us to know that the people we call witches, they are not witches except by an altar. The people you call witches, they are not witches except by an altar. Every witch has an altar that speaks for them. When they want to do something evil, they go to that altar. They make a sacrifice on the altar. And when they make that sacrifice, the evil spirit, that demon backing their altar, receives a voice for that assignment. Witches don't joke with altars. But we are talking about breaking the horn of witchcraft. They don't joke with their altar. Are you seeing? They erected 7 altars and they brought up ram and bulls to sacrifice. The Bible talked about a king called Saul. Saul had disobeyed God. God rejected him. But when Saul consulted the witch at Endor, when he consulted a woman called the witch at Endor, it was from there his death began. That was his last activity. After there, he went to a battle and died in the battle. Because God saw that this man had consulted evil spirits. He had entered divinations. And God hates divinations, enchantments, and sorceries very seriously. Look at Numbers 18, 9 to 13. Numbers chapter 18. Okay, rather, Deuteronomy 18. I want to establish some points before I dive properly into what is the main focus for today. Numbers, Deuteronomy 18, 9 to 13. He said, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, listen, or that uses divination, or an observer of times. This one, observer of times, or most of these ones that involve in horoscopes, they will say my star is Virgo, Pisces, Aquarius, Scorpio, this and that. You know, Scorpio, you are a gentle people, they are calm, they are good, you know. So those things are part of divinations. That is observation of times. And God is against that. All those things they call horoscopes. Now look at this, for an enchanter or a what? Witch. Are you saying the last one? Or a witch. Or a charmer or a consulter with familiar spirits. So you don't even consult people that have familiar spirits. Or a wizard or a necromancer. Necromancer, these ones that speak with the dead. They can go to the grave and begin to communicate with the dead. But those dead, they are communicating with the people that died, have actually died and gone for judgment. The Bible said it's appointed unto a man wants to die, and after death comes judgment. So what they are communicating with, those are familiar spirits that will take the likeness of that person. Because Satan is the architect of deception. One power he has over the nations is deception. He said it is he that deceived the whole world. So there is a familiar spirit that goes with the corpse of anyone that has died. So when that thing begins to make operation, they will say it is this person. So Satan does that in order to keep people in this act called necromancy, so that they will believe that the dead still speak. Any man that dies has gone for judgment. Now God is saying, nor a charmer, consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. Look at where, for all that do these things are abomination unto the Lord. And because of this abomination, the Lord thy God doth drive them from before thee. So, as we are progressing, you will see that in the mind of God, it does not please him at all to hear that anyone is consulting familiar spirits. Anyone is consulting mediums. Any consultation you are making must be through God himself. If it is not in God, if it is not in Christ in God, it is through a familiar spirit, and God is not happy with that. So back to what we are talking about, breaking the horn of witchcraft. Witchcraft is very real. It's very, I'm telling you. People inherit witchcraft now. People, some mothers pass witchcraft to their children as a gift. They pass it. From small, they begin to journey them into their meetings. They begin to operate in different rankings. My in-law that came to my house recently, she said in their place in Lagos, a woman that lives by her, a particular man threatened the woman or so, that when he goes for a journey, that she will not survive it. They thought it was a joke. The man traveled that day. The following day, the person died. Following day, the person died. So there is what they call the horn of witchcraft. Anybody that tells you witchcraft does not have strength is not telling you the complete truth. Witchcraft has power, they have strength. But the Bible says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Why I'm saying this is so that we will watch properly. I know about a lady. Her baby was killed by the housemaid. I know the story firsthand. The baby was killed by the housemaid. Why did the housemaid kill the baby? She sent the housemaid to buy clean, a detergent. The housemaid bought another type. She shouted, so the housemaid got angry and had to eat the baby in the kingdom that day. She said they carried the baby. The housemaid was confessing it. After many months, almost a year, this thing happened. She was confessing and saying that the baby was pounded in their kingdom that day, and they all ate the baby. And she also initiated the woman's little baby, little girl. But that baby, they killed that baby. Witchcraft is real. But one thing I don't believe, and one thing that is not true, that the devil has sold to our generation, is that there is white witchcraft and black witchcraft. That's a lie. There is nothing like a good witch and a bad witch. A woman told my in-law was telling me, said the woman told her that she's a witch, but she uses it for good things. That it's only when somebody tries to suppress her that she will act, that she's a witch, that she inherited it. She says she inherited her witchcraft, but she does not use it for evil. That is when somebody wants to intimidate her, she brings it out. A witch is a witch. God became so angry with the operations of witchcraft in the old covenant, to an extent that God made a law and gave to Moses and told him, suffer not the witch to me. You catch a witch in Israel, destroy the witch. In the Great Britain, during the medieval times, any witch they caught, they were burning the witches at the stake. Because they had used to identify witches, is that there is a mark they have, even physically in their body. After they are initiated in their kingdom, there is one unique mark they used to have that was there. So in the Great Britain, there was a kind of revolution that happened there, that any witch they catch, they burn the person to a stake. There is this movie they call Merlin, and many of you here will know that movie, Merlin. The guy himself, Merlin, is also a witch. He hides it, but he uses his own for good. But from the point of the scripture, a witch is a witch. There is nothing like good witch and bad witch. It's something people must avoid. The worst of it is that there is also witchcraft in the church. There are people that take up positions in the church. There are even some people that are pastors, but they are witches. You're not getting me? They are pastors, but they are witches. They have witchcraft ability. Ability to communicate with evil spirits, receive power from them and do their biddings. God is highly against it. God is highly against it. There's this other one called Harry Potter. Harry Potter himself, the wizard that flies with the broom. When we were in secondary school, that movie, during any day we have social gatherings, we put Harry Potter different seasons. Most of those things is to initiate a generation into witchcraft and to see witchcraft as being acceptable. I was reading an article one day, and all of a sudden I was like, who is writing this thing? I went to the biography of the author. The first thing the person wrote is that so is a witch and this and that, and uses her witches for medicinal purpose, her witchcraft for... I was like, look, this is funny to something else. So witches now, unlike before, they are now coming to the open to reveal themselves. Beloved, witchcraft is real. And any witch that operates with an altar, because it takes an altar to be a witch, that witch performs sacrifices. And any of such sacrifices, they are in tune with demons and devils. Have you woken up before and you see marks all over your body? 4 days ago, somebody from South Africa said she wants to introduce me to a woman. That the woman is her friend, that she woke up and saw cross on her body, on her hand. I was like, where did that happen? Let me talk to the woman. So she introduced the woman to me. The woman sent me the picture of her body. I saw that they drew a mark on her body and it was a cross. She said she woke up and saw the cross on her body. Whether you woke up and saw the drawing of Jesus, something that looked like Jesus on your body, is witchcraft. You woke up and saw they draw something like an angel on your body, is witchcraft. She saw a cross on her body. That's a witchcraft mark. That's to say that person, there are some of this mark they could give to someone. And when they keep that mark is like a target. It's just like you deposit something somewhere, a signal. Even for others available. These witches, they have a network. You wake up and you see strange marks all over your body. You don't remember anybody flogging you. You just woke up and you saw it. There's one they call Amusu in Nigeria here. that the witches will change to a cat, and when they change to a cat, they will go and they will suck the person's blood in the night. Suck the blood out. Some people just wake up, see blood all over their body. Max, see blood. That is witchcraft. And why they're able to feast on the person is that the person is empty. The person is at a 0 degree spiritually. That's why they could be able to do that. Beloved, witchcraft is real, and witchcraft has dealt with many people so badly. They have dealt with so many people badly. Look at Psalm 74 verse 20. Psalm 74 verse 20. The scripture says, I read from 19 to 20. Oh, deliver not the soul of thy turtledove unto the multitude of the wicked. Forget not the congregation of thy poor forever. Have respect unto the covenant, for the dark places of the earth are full of the habitations of cruelty. The dark places of the earth is filled with habitations of wickedness. Wickedness. So what God is attempting to do here is to give us some level of enlightenment and how to go about matters as this. A woman called me from Abia State. Is it 3 days ago for me to pray for her? There's this thing they call Abba Belt. That thing, you will just begin to see spots all over your body, swelling, as the thing is going around your waist. When the thing enters 360 degrees, the person dies. They call it belt. If the thing locks 360 degrees, the person dies. Mark, different kind of things will begin to come out of the person's body. The woman told me that she was dying, that her body is heating. All these things are witchcraft. And people that send such projections, they send it through an altar. They will make oblation to a spirit, sacrifice to a spirit. And after shedding the blood of that animal, whatever, they will speak what they want to do. They may call the person's name, or they may bring something they call a totem. A totem is like an object, an image that may look like a human being. When they bring it, they will place it on the altar, begin to put needles. As they put those needles, it is that those parts they put it. Anything they talk will begin to happen inside of that person, and it works for them. If the person is at the 0 degree spiritually, they will catch the person. The woman said her body is heating. Her body is heating. Now all of a sudden it happened. All of a sudden. All of a sudden. We talked about priesthood and sacrifices. We are priests, and we have our effort, breastplate of intercession. So while the Lord is bringing this message and this revelation, is so that when time comes, we may know what we ought to do. The Bible said the sons of Issachar understood the times and knew what Israel ought to do. I want us to look at somebody. And that man is called Manasseh, King Manasseh. He was a king of Israel, but the man was a witch. He was a king of Judah, but a witch. There are 3 Manassehs in the Bible. The first Manasseh was the son of Jacob, and Joseph. Joseph is the son of Jacob, and Joseph had 2 sons there, Manasseh and Ephraim. Manasseh was the elder, the Ephraim was the younger. But Jacob prophesied that Manasseh will be under Ephraim. So the lower one became the higher one. So what I'm saying is there are 3 Manassehs in the Bible. The second one was a priest. His name was Moses, but he later changed his name to Manasseh because he dishonored God. Then the third Manasseh is this one we want to talk about. 3 Manassehs in the Bible, all evil report. So that's not a name somebody should even bear. Manasseh means one who forgets. It's not a name anybody should even be, Manasseh. So I want to look at this particular king. He's the 14th king of Judah. He was the son and the successor of King Hezekiah. His father was King Hezekiah. This man was an idolater. This man was persecuting people serving Jehovah in Israel. This man was a man that brought ruins to Israel. And at the end of his life, God took him into captivity in Babylon. Let's look at his matter. 2 Kings 21. 2 Kings 21. Second Kings chapter 21. Look at verse 1. It says Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Hephzibah. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, after the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. So all those heathen and Gentile nations, hear me well, all the Gentile nations before Israel, this man was committing the very abomination these people were committing, even more than them. Look at verse 3. We are looking at 2 Kings chapter 21 from verse 1. We are in verse 3 now. For he, Manasseh, built again the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed. His father destroyed the high places. When you are talking about the high places, they are talking about altars. Altars of strange gods. Altars of Baal, Ashtaroth, Baalim and all of that. His father destroyed the altars, but he went and rebuilt it. And he reared up altars for Baal. And he made a grove, as did Ahab, king of Israel, and worshipped all the host of heaven and served them. He was serving, he was worshipping anything worshipable. Some of these ones, some people will say, is Angel Jeremy, Angel this, Angel that, Angel different manners of angels they call and invoke. Anything that is the power of heaven that is worthy of worship by the heathen, this man worshipped them. Anything you call a god, if you say this thing is a god of thunder, you say, hey, okay, go and bring his image. Come, let's worship. He wants to worship everything. There are some people that worship anything. They can come to church, worship God the way they feel. After that, if they hear it is happening somewhere, whether they are mentioning the name of Jesus or not, they will go. They will also worship anywhere they can worship. That was the same thing that happened to Manasseh. Look at verse 4. And he built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord said, in Jerusalem I will put my... This man even went to the level that he carried altars of Baal. He took it to the altar of God. And placed it. He took strange gods into the house of the Lord. Look at verse 5. And he built altars for all the host of the heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. Verse 6. And he made his son. Look at the matter here. See what I want us to look at. And he made his son pass through the fire. He observed times, used enchantment. Are you seeing? We had read this place in Deuteronomy where God warned against this thing. Is it not so? Now, this one is not just a citizen, he was a king of Judah, the 14th king of Judah. He made his son pass through fire, observed times, and used enchantment, and dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. Are you seeing that? He wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke the Lord to anger. He did much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke the Lord to anger. Now, you're using King James. If you use other translations, you understand verse 6 very well. The Amplified says, he made his son pass through the fire and burned him as an offering to Molech. The name of the idol was called Molech. He sacrificed his son by fire. He burnt the son through fire as a sacrifice to a god called Molech. This man is a wizard. That is witchcraft. Look at verse finally. And he sets a graven image of the grove that he had made in the house of which the Lord has said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Judah, I will put my name forever. So this man sacrificed his son on the altar of witchcraft. The sacrifice this man did, it was from this aspect you begin to see God taking him out. So one thing with witches, they don't joke with sacrifice. A witch can sacrifice even her baby. A baby that is born. They can eat the baby in the kingdom. They can sacrifice anything. In their kingdom, they can give up anything. And that makes them powerful in their own aspect. The magicians of Pharaoh, the Bible said, they carried their rod, and their rod turned into what? Serpent. That was power demonstration. Moses carried his rod, the rod of Aaron, and it turned to a what? Serpent. Power demonstration. One is from God, the other one came from the devil. But that practice of the rod turning to serpent in the hand of those magicians was a witchcraft practice. Those magicians of Pharaoh, as the Bible calls them, they did diverse miracles, demonic miracles in Egypt. And they held Egypt sway. That's why I tell some people that you don't use miracles to measure the greatness of God. If not, you will miss God. If you use miracle to measure the bigness of Jesus, is when you see some miracle, you say, I have a very big God. If that's your revelation of God, you will miss him. I have seen clips. This one is not video shop. It's not Photoshop or video shop. It's not doctored. I've seen a clip of a Fulani walking on the air. He will command blocks. He will do like this. The blocks will come. You've watched it, huh? He was floating on the air. He will command his cloth. He will do like this. The cloth will come. There is one, a Zimbabwean. People will gather. The man will be dancing on the air. His feet does not touch ground. Your revelation of Jesus is that he that walks upon the sea. So it's because he walked upon the sea that makes him great. Sorry, yo. There are witches that can walk on the sea too. I'm sorry to say. Are you hearing me? There are witches that can fly on air. Hello? So why I'm saying this is because if you measure the weight of the Lord Jesus because of the fact that he did miracles, or because of the fact that he walked on the sea, even the children of Israel then, they walked on the Red Sea as dry land. Miracles started even before Jesus came on earth as a man. Are we together? Why I'm saying it is that so that people will not get lost. Because when you say Jesus walked on the sea, as he walked on the sea, you did not see them. You are walking, then a man called Chris Angel, one American like that, has been doing magic everywhere. You're not seen walking on the sea. So that you will not say, okay, Jesus on his own. Look at the latest one. He will not follow you. Are you seeing? So because if you are a miracle seeker, that miracles, that's just what moves you. You will miss God. You miss God. When I was small, the area I lived in, Port Harcourt, any day you want to do any occasion, wedding or anything, there are some people you go and appease with. If you don't appease them, that the rain will scatter your occasion. They draw rain. They boast in it. They will come and say they will open the heavens and rain will scatter your occasion. I remember one, they threw rain for my sister's friend's wedding. We carried umbrella, we were going. And the wind broke the umbrella. Heavy rain. So your revelation of the greatness of Jesus is not because of miracles, no. Huh? It is because he has the keys of hell and death. He has the keys of eternal life. Are you hearing me? He's the source of everything. He created all things. By him, all things were created. Whether they be thrones, dominion, principalities, and powers. Are you hearing me? If this is your revelation of Jesus and why you hold on to him, you are standing on the right ground. But if it is because he divided the Red Sea, you see some magicians that will part seas. You see some witches that will do divination for you. They will even hang, suspend on the air. Will you begin to serve them because of the miracles they did? No. I don't know if you are getting me. I'm not downplaying the miracles of our Lord. Miracles were nothing. They are nothing to him. They were nothing. They were nothing to him. But what shows the greatness of our Lord is because he is a source of all things. Because by him everything was created. And he has power over everything. That's what makes him great. Not because he works on this. But not because he turned water to wine. Are you hearing me? Those ones are elementary. They are primary school matters. You're talking about him as he that rose from the grave, and the grave could not hold in a hand. You are talking about something. He defeated hell and death. There are some that wanted to replicate the miracle of resurrection, and one of them I heard on the third day thunder struck, the man died and went back to the grave. In destroying and breaking the horn of witchcraft, which is the strength of witchcraft, we must know what they call consistency. Hear me well. There's something they call consistency. Consistency. Witches are consistent. Huh? The witches, you know or may not know, they don't miss their meetings. Witches are they don't break covenant too. They are consistent. Anything they will do, whether you are to give them 1 billion, if they have a meeting by that time, you will not see them. They will go and attend their meeting. They are consistent. So the consistency, even at their altar, still empowers their altar. Midnight, while you are dozing off, they have gone for meeting. They have done their sacrifice and all of that. And you wake up in the morning. You didn't even make any prayer. You're just living by chance. You're just living anyhow. Then you started going your way. And you didn't know that a witch had enchanted against you and called your name in a coven and poured blood sacrifice. The God you serve, you didn't even call on the God. You just woke up. Maybe you just carry your phone immediately. Check your WhatsApp message. Check Facebook message. You are off. And you are living by chance. You are living by chance. If you're living a life like that, you are serving a living God. But what they are serving will be speaking for them more than God speaking for you. You don't know. Because why it will be so is that you are not aligned to what you are serving. You are not connected. You are not connected to the source. You carry this socket now. You remove it from the wall socket. This extension. You think there will be power inside? There will be no power. It's when it is connected that power will run. So it will not look as though God has no power. Why? Because the man is not participating. One thing that makes witches powerful is their consistency at the altar. If witches are to assemble at the four junction now by 3 a.m. this midnight, all of them will boom, you will see them. I watched a clip, my God. That clip, it was a CCTV camera. CCTV camera, these things are good. CCTV camera caught in an office. Cats came there, like two of them. One, you watched it. They disappeared. One man came to. He was acting like a drunkard. He reached them, disappeared. My God. Somebody that was just there, all of a sudden, the person was not there again. So these guys carry out activities. So there are activities too we as believers should be carrying out. So that there will be something they call altar versus altar. They have an altar and we likewise have an altar. If it is like that, something will happen. That's to say, what will happen is that the lesser will submit. The Bible said in John chapter 3 verse 31, he that comes from above, the same is above them all. Can somebody get John 3:31 for me? John 3:31. He that comes from, see, we are talking about breaking the horn of witchcraft. This is how to break the horn, because the breaking of the horn is not theoretical, it is practical. It's not in theory. Somebody get the mic and read that for me. John 3:31. Very clear, please.
John 3:31.
Yes.
He that cometh from above.
He that cometh from above is above all.
He that is of the earth is earthly.
He that is of the earth is earthly.
And speaketh of the earth.
And speaketh of the earth.
He that cometh from heaven.
He that comes from heaven is above all. That's why I looked at it and say, hey, family devotion should not be joked with. That before you come out from your house in the morning, you have heard family devotion. And as you are coming out, you are coming from heaven. So you are coming from heaven. That day you are above all. He that comes from above. The thing is that, where are you coming from? You ask yourself that question. Where are you coming from? Where am I coming from? You are not coming from any location. You are just coming from an altar of laziness. You have folded your mattress, finished. Scattered everywhere. You woke up, just took your bath. Boom, you are off. You are not coming from any location. How can you be above all? The all we are talking about, there are principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, might, dominions. What are you saying? Spiritual wickedness. Fallen angels everywhere. Satan roaming, looking for whom he will devour. And you are coming, going to where you are going. You are not coming from anywhere. The scripture says, he comes from above. You know, when as you wake up, you begin to do your devotion, you begin to sing praises to God, you begin to pray, you have connected with heaven. Your extension has connected to the wall socket. And as you are going, you are above all. So even the one they have done that midnight, as you are doing that, you have nullified it. Remember how I pissed on that sacrifice. And the Spirit of the Lord said that thing has been scattered. That's how, as you do that devotion, waiting on God, if they don't do anything against you, you are pissed on that nonsense. But they do. You did not come from heaven. The mercy of God covered you. The following day again, they did. Bam, you did not. You are doing it for long. There will be a time that you may not see that extension of grace. And before you know, the thief will knock the person. And that is dangerous. But he that comes from heaven is saved, is above them all. Which is before they come out, they have empowered themselves from the altar. And you too, you ought to empower yourself. That's why we talked about the message, building spiritual altars. I said the altar now is not for you to go and look for something to build. No, the altar is the place of meeting with God. You might decide to say 5 a.m. every day I wake up, 4 a.m. I wake up, 3 a.m. I wake up. You have a place of meeting. As you are meeting with God, power is transmitted into you. There is no time I pray, it's not a joke. There is no time I pray that even in my physical body that I don't feel God. I'm not talking about the spirit now. My body will feel the anointing. How many of us are witnesses? Even your body will testify that something touched you. As you are coming out, you are above all. There are activities that are going on daily, day by day, spiritual activities. And these things are real. They are shooting arrows day by day, looking for whom to consume. Spiritual archers of darkness, which is shooting manifold arrows. You are living by chance. If they say even pray, 10 minutes prayer, you are even struggling 10 minutes. How about? 10 minutes you are yawning. Just 10 minutes prayer, you have slept and woken up like 6 times. That's the spirit of slumber. It's dangerous. It is he that comes from above. He that comes from above. You have come from above. That is from the presence of the Elohim. As you are moving, you are above them all. He that is of the earth is earthly. If you're living as an earth man, they will deal with you as an earth man. The earth man is a dust man. He's dust. They'll take you back to dust too. He that is of the earth is earth. You don't act as though you're of the earth. You are from above. He that is from the heavens is above them all. If you want to break the horn of witchcraft, the strength of witchcraft, begin to come from above. That's the key. If you are not coming from above, you are making your enemy stronger than you. David said, you have put my hands to war, my fingers to battle. You teacheth my hands to war. that the power of steel is broken by my hands. How can we break the horn of witchcraft? It is by identifying our location. Our location is the place of the altar. Altar of communion with God, communication. As you are doing that consistently, it may not be easy for you to start, but as you are consistent in it, before you know, your body, everything about you gets used to it. And by that, you have built an altar. You become a moving altar. As you are doing that, you are strengthening the angels even around you. So that your angels will not even be gallivanting, going left, you are going right. Because you are lacking direction in God. He says he will give his angels charge to keep you in all your ways. What if the angels want to keep you? And as they are drawing you to this level, you are moving to point B. How can it be possible? That's where God needs alignment from us. For us to break the horn, which is the strength of witchcraft in our families. Let us raise family altars. Family altars. Gather your children. Even if you are starting with 30 minutes. Even if you don't know what to sing, he's alive, amen. He's alive. Jesus is alive forever. He's alive, amen. Even if it's what you sang for 30 minutes and say, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Lord God. You are okay. You are okay. Even if it's that one, you are okay. In fact, I found out when I was in primary school, I found out that most of those children itself that were even doing better than us in primary school there, it's not like they were reading too much. I found out that most of them they had a foundation of godliness that their parents built them on the altar of prayer. I found out that when we were in primary school, we'll be coming out, we'll be jacking the class on our head. Many were doing better. We were surprised. It took me time to understand what happened. So that when other children will go out and be catching favor, your children too will be connected to favor. Favor is spiritual. You are seeking for a contract, you go out in the morning, you did not even pray. You don't know these things are spiritual? The witches around, before that kind of thing, they will consult their altars. Gain favor from the evil spirit and go. Let's rise up on our feet because of time. There are many things I was to say, but I found out that we've exhausted our time. The scripture says, he that comes from above is above all. The magicians of Pharaoh, they did their own. Moses did his own. There was power in the two places, but the one that came from above swallowed the other side. If it can be coming from above, your rod will swallow the rod of your enemies. If you can change location to come from above, the rod of Moses swallowed the rod of Aaron. Because that one came from above, and he that is from above is above them. That's the formula. If Moses came from the earth, Pharaoh would have killed him there. In fact, they would have even eaten their body. They came from a location. Rise up on your feet. We have prayed already this morning. I don't want us to begin to say, I scatter every witchcraft altar. Listen, we have prayed that one. But there is a prayer I want us to pray now. The prayer is a serious and a humble prayer. Say, Lord, teach me to come from above. Some of you will come out from useless, filthy dreams. Useless dream, and you just finish coming out from the dream, you just go and wash your face, bath, and off. You are living by chance. Say, Lord, teach me how to come from above. Teach me how to come from above. Teach me to come from above. We don't have time. I am even surprised that time has gone like this. There are some things I wanted to say. He that comes from above is above all. We have prayed against witchcraft altars. We have broken them by the fire of God. But now, just as they have altars, so that we too, we have our own consistent altar. Lord, teach me how to come from above. Teach me how to come from above. Help me to change my location from the flesh to the spirit. Help me to change my location from the flesh to the spirit. Go ahead. Call upon the name of the Lord. Go ahead, the Lord is hearing you.
Change my location from the flesh to the spirit. In the name of Jesus, my Father, my Maker.
God, through His servant, Apostle Christian Nwoke, has just delivered to you a message from heaven. Now you are blessed and empowered to lead a victorious life by the power of the risen Christ. Amen.
For your programs, bookings, crusade, and testimonies, message us on WhatsApp with +234 7032469360. You can follow Apostle Christian Nwoke on Facebook. Download our messages through the following platforms: www.foreshare.com or by messaging us on WhatsApp. You can also get the messages on our Telegram and YouTube channel by searching Apostle Christian Nwoke. Visit our website www.gagsermons.com for more information.
You can also spread the gospel we preach by becoming a kingdom partner with us through your love offerings. Kindly message us on WhatsApp with +234 703 246 9360 to become a partner.
We are God's Army Global, bringing the fullness of God to every man and taking us numberless as the sand by the seashore to heaven with us, even you.